What's up, everybody? You're listening to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Wiseau. Now, look. When I start a show off with the now look, you know we're in for some trouble, okay? The trouble being that all the symbolism we come to know and love from the Super Bowl halftime shows, it wasn't there this time. It wasn't there. I watched it. I watched it many times. Okay? I recorded it, watched it over and over thoroughly. I actually had a lot of ideas written down before the show even started. And I'll be honest with you, wasn't a lot there. Now, was there nothing there? That's not really the case either. All right? So, as the annual tradition of this show, we always talk about the Super Bowl halftime show, all right? I'm going to go through what we did see. And then I'm going to go through some of your ideas, some of the comments you dropped on the social media that I read. And just for the sake of maintaining a good time with you, my dear listener, we're going to talk about all of these ties with the occult that each of these artists has, because they each do, which is what was so surprising to me, because I was sure we were going to get it. But we did not. And in fact, if you follow me on the social medias, which I'm sure you do, at Isaac Wiseau is on the Instagram there, or the Twitter, at Illuminati Eyes, you can see that I dropped my predictions on Saturday. And true to fashion of the Isaac Wiseau predictions, they were very wrong. Couldn't have been more wrong. Actually, to be fair, I was partially right. We'll cover that in a little bit here. I gotta try to make this entertaining for you, right? We're gonna try to make this like a half-hour show. So I'm gonna talk to you about some things, right? Because all the symbolism lining up for the Super Bowl halftime show told me there was gonna be a lot going on. The location, Los Angeles, the City of Angels, in Hollywood, where the magic wand comes from, the tree of the holly. Seeing 50 Cent, I keep thinking magic stick. And Kodak Black, he got shot the night prior. I was like, dude, this is going to be crazy. This is going to be ultra satanic Satan Fest 2022. And then on top of that, we had the game, the big sports ball game. The Rams versus the Bengals, which is, of course, the sheep versus the Tigers. And that plays into astrology. And the Ram, you could look at the Baphomet. We talk about the Baphomet often. It's the goat with the breast, right? The male goat with the bobs. And when you talk about the occult, they're obsessed with astrology, right? And they go by tracking of the stars, the Hermetic axiom, as above, so below, law of correspondence. They think that as ritual magicians, they can use symbolic, they can use energy from symbols and the events like the Super Bowl halftime show to send energy to the cosmos to cause changes in our world, okay? So when I see the Rams, the Los Angeles Rams, who are, of course, in their hometown for the Super Bowl, which doesn't always happen, I thought, well, that's really interesting that they're devoting this much energy to the Rams, right? And I don't know if football's fixed or not. I doubt it. But maybe, right? But the sun was in the constellation of Aries, which is the ram, okay? And the ram was considered the vehicle for the solar power, okay? And it goes back to this idea of the sun god, S-U-N. And if you watch the Zeitgeist film, they'll tell you the occult version of it, how they think that Christ is a story taken from the actual sun god, S-U-N, the dying and resurrecting sun god that dies and, you know, is resurrected every morning or whatever. Or if you look at it when it goes to the Southern Cross at the December 21st, remains underground, dying for 3 days, and then it starts resurrecting to come back to full power. So when they're looking at astrology and stuff, they say, okay, well, the ram was the vehicle for the solar power when the sun was in the constellation of Aries. And I'm going to read to you from Manly P. Hall's The Secret Teachings of All Ages. And they talk about December 21st. All right. When the start of the passage, the journey of the sun god, the dying sun god, goes underground and dies for 3 days and then can be resurrected and reborn to come back to full power. And in the book, it says, December 21st, four of the signs of the zodiac have been permanently dedicated to the equinoxes and the solstices, while the signs no longer correspond with the ancient constellations to which they were assigned and from which they secured their names, they are accepted by modern astronomers as a basis of calculation. Blah, blah, blah. Boring, boring, boring. Here we go. The vernal equinox is therefore said to occur in the constellation of Aries, the ram. It is fitting that all of all beasts, a ram should be placed at the head of the heavenly flock forming the zodiacal band. Centuries before the Christian era, the pagans revered this constellation. Godfrey Higgins states, this constellation was called the Lamb of God. He was also called the Savior and was said to save mankind from their sins. So what we're looking at with the ram is the, again, the vehicle for solar power, and the pagan version of the, you know, the Christian tale that we've come to believe. Sorry, my throat's dry. Lots of water today, okay? And then it goes through some more stuff. It says, therefore, the Lamb of God is a title given to the sun, who is said to be reborn every year in the northern hemisphere in the sign of the ram. So basically, the dying, resurrecting God story of the sun and the ram plays a role in it. And it says, and you find out that the ram or the lamb is important to the occultists and Freemasons. It says, because a lamb was the sin offering of ancient pagans, the early mystic Christians considered this animal an appropriate emblem of Christ, whom they regarded as the sin offering of the world. The Greeks and the Egyptians highly venerated the lamb or ram, often placing its horns upon the foreheads of their gods. And if you recall, Eminem, the artwork for his Rap God song, he had the horns on his head. All right, do you remember that? It's very important. And the Freemasons, they wear the apron. It's made of lambskin. Now, the conspiracy theorists will tell you that they do that as a reminder that the sheep need to be sheared, something like that. That's the rough metaphor. Meaning the people are the sheep and they need to be told what to do and how to live by the Freemasons. But Manly P. Hall says, the lambskin apron worn by the Freemasons over that part of the body symbolized by Typhon or Judas represents that purification. Talking about the crotch. Typhon. Now, the rappers, I was surprised they didn't do more or show us more. And I say that because, listen to this. Here's just a taste of some of the things that we know about these artists. Dr. Dre, let's start with him. Here's the guy who became the richest rapper in history when he sold the Beats headphones to Apple for $3 billion. And half a billion, so $500 million, came from the Carlyle Group, right? Which ties us into 9/11 and all kinds of stuff. If you listen to my recent show where we tied Blackstone to their alliance with Carlyle when they bought Freescale Semiconductors, which was arguably the theory of why that MH370 plane disappeared, is because the Freescale Semiconductors people were on the plane. That was on the show where we talk about Neil Rogan trying to, Neil Young trying to cancel Joe Rogan. Sorry, it's been a very long day, all right? I don't record at night. This is not normal or typical. But I know you're wondering what I saw at the Super Bowl, so I'm here to tell you about it. And if you remember, Dr. Dre was working on the Planets album. Remember the album? It was an instrumental album where he was going to make tracks for each of the planets. And this is based off of Pythagoras, right? He's the OG, the first secret society. He had this theory of the music of spheres, and he claimed each planet made its own sound. And Dr. Dre was going to make an album professing to know the sounds of the planets. And Dr. Dre said, and I quote, "I want to do it in surround sound. It'll have to be in surround sound for Saturn to work." So Saturn ties in with the Black Stone, which ties in with Dr. Dre. And then right before the Super Bowl performance, at a press conference, Dr. Dre said he was manifesting the Rams into the Super Bowl. I put that clip on my Instagram and Twitter. Check it out. Snoop Dogg, he was in my book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, as were most of these artists, which is all about hip-hop and the Illuminati. Get it on Amazon or Audible. You already got it already, though. And we talked about the predictive programming of Snoop Dogg when he had the song Murder Was the Case on Doggy Style, and then sure enough, a year later he goes to court and murder was in fact the case. And he did a short film based on it called Murder Was the Case. And in it he dies, makes the Faustian bargain with the devil. And that soundtrack was fire. I'm an old guy, so I had that soundtrack. It was really good. And very sadly, Jeffrey Bezos did not have it on the Amazon. That's why I do this Amazon music. No Murder Was the Case soundtrack. So, Bezos, get on it. Also, let's see. Snoop Dogg also just recently acquired Death Row Records. Guess who he bought them through? Blackstone. There we go again, right? Blackstone's got their fingers in everything. Is that the right term? They're part of the great reset of the housing crisis. We talked about that a few months back. This Neil Young, Joe Rogan drama. They're the 2001 monolith. And they've also facilitated Snoop Dogg to buy Death Row Records. And it was funny because the Gaber, I don't know if I'm saying that right, on Instagram, told me about Rupus Negra. And wow, that turned out to be an interesting topic. The idea is that back in the day, earlier explorers thought that compasses pointed north because of this massive black rock. They called it a Rupus Negra. And sorry, I had 2 years of Spanish. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but I'm trying. And it was written about by the explorer Gerardus Mercator. And he was besties with John Dee, the guy we always talk about, who was channeling the aliens with the Enochian magic and then did a little wife swap action with Edward Kelly. Just like L. Ron Hubbard and Jack Parsons would later do. Anyway, he told John Dee about this black rock, and they said it was 33 leagues across, of course, symbolic to Freemasonry, the 33rd degree of the Scottish Rite. But it was believed that the water would go down this rock and into the core of the earth, and it was the entrance to the underworld. So it was sort of like a portal in some ways. Now, Death Row, of course, being the label that Dre and Snoop and Tupac popularized in the 90s, if you recall, it's tied into Nexium. Remember that? And the story that I described in Sacrifice and Magic Behind the Mic, Ted Fields, this guy who's part of an Illuminati bloodline that ties to J.P. Morgan, he started Interscope Records, and the conspiracies claim that Freeway Ricky Ross and Michael Harris, they connected Suge Knight with their attorney. And you recall that Freeway and Michael Harris were part of the CIA... Oh boy, this is a lot, huh? The CIA crack deal where they were funding the Sandinista rebels to overthrow the Nicaraguan government. And then they were giving the money or the drugs to Freeway to sell in the streets and whatnot. And a journalist, Gary Webb, exposed the whole thing, and he ultimately died. He died, if you can believe that. Yeah, he died. He shot himself in the head 2 times and committed suicide. That's what they say. That's the story. Anyway, the attorney and Suge Knight, they set up Godfather Entertainment. And through the CIA, connected attorney and Interscope's Illuminati bloodlines, Suge somehow arranged for Tupac to get out of prison early if he signed to death row. So now Interscope is owned by Time Warner, right? But back in the early 90s, I know this is kind of weird to think, in the early 90s, there was a lot of heat about gangster rap. It was a big problem. So Time Warner wanted out of it, and they dropped Death Row, and Seagram's picked it up. Seagram's was partially founded by Edgar Bronfman, which is a Yiddish term for spirit man, which fits because Bronfman was a bootlegger. But Edgar Bronfman's daughter is Claire Bronfman, and she was working with Keith Raniere at the sexual pyramid scheme Nexium, and now she's in prison. Now, the irony here is that, so in a way, the Bronfmans owned Death Row Records at one time, in a way, right? Not in a way, like, pretty much. The irony here is that Claire Bronfman did more prison time than Snoop and Dre combined, all right? But, you know, I mean, don't get it twisted. I'm sure these guys, even though they're not tactical level gang members anymore, they probably roll with even more dangerous people now. You know what I mean? The rich whites, the white elites they're hanging out with now, the Illuminati, basically. Now, Eminem, what about Eminem? Well, when Eminem came out, look, here's the thing about Eminem. Back in 99, I'll never forget it as long as I live. I was in what they call MEPS, getting ready to go to boot camp. And in MEPS, they're like checking you out, make sure you're fine to go to boot camp, right? And I remember being in line and they had a TV on. They had MTV on because back in the 90s, people watched MTV. And they were playing Hi, My Name is Slim Shady. I don't remember the name of the song. You know what I'm talking about. His first big hit. Hi, My Name Is. And I was watching. I was like, dude, what is this? Like, it blew my mind. Because I was really into rap music. I said, what the hell is this? This white dude rapping. And that was it. Then, you know, I came out of boot camp and went to tech school. And so it was like 3 months later. And I'm this dude blows up. And I said, there's that. That's that white guy. Then, I seen him in concert twice in 99. Huge Eminem fan. I loved it. The first two albums were so great. And then I don't know what happened. I just didn't like him anymore. Because he was so good when he was just funny and witty. And when he had more of like a Weird Al vibe. You know? I thought that was peak Eminem. Because he was just so clever and funny and witty. But he wasn't corny at the same time. He had this perfect blend. And then I don't know what happened. He just turned into like angry white guy rap or something, which is fine. I mean, he's got to be the greatest lyricist ever. And the way the guy can make words rhyme is, it's insane. The dude's crazy. Crazy talented. Anyway, he had a video where he had a buddy named Proof in D12. He had a video with Proof dying in it. It's called Toy Soldiers. And then Proof later had an album, Searching for Jerry Garcia, again with Proof dying in it. And then guess what happens? You know, Proof dies. And Eminem even talked about this at one point. He said, and I quote, "I would stare at the ceiling and think about that video. Did karma cause that to happen in real life? Did I? You always want to point the finger at somebody else when something like that happens, you know?" So that weird thing happened. Some people say that was the Faustian blood sacrifice. But he was already huge at that point. He's also talked about being possessed many times. In his song Rain Man, he says, "Hi, my name is, I forgot my name. My name was not to become what I became with this level of fame. My soul is possessed by this devil. My new name is Rain Man. I believe that was on the... was it Rehab or Relapse? More, he did the Jamaican accent a bunch, which I thought that album was great. Again, he hated it. People hated that album. I thought, no, this is great. This is vintage Eminem. This is what we need more of. But, hey, I was all alone on that, I guess. Kendrick Lamar. He's on the Top Dog Entertainment label, TDE, which had clothing with all-seeing eyes and Illuminati triangles. And he was in this super rap group called Black Hippie with a guy named Absol. Absol is a guy who has an entire album devoted to Aleister Crowley called Do What Thou Wilt. Aleister Crowley, of course, massive in the occult world. The leading figure of all occult activity, I'd argue. And if you recall in his video for Humble, he was depicted as Christ at the Last Supper. And then also, he told Howard Stern in 2017 that he was probably abducted by aliens, and that's where he got the talent. And I quote, this is what he said. I probably did. That's probably why I'm doing music right now. Who knows? They probably gave me the energy, you know. Now, you thought, Mary J. Blige. Isaac, you got nothing on Mary J. Blige. Oh, but I do, my friends. And Sacrifice Magic behind the mic. She was talking to Oprah. I did a section on Aaliyah, right? Because she had some strange activities around her death. And Oprah says, what brought you to that point? I know 9/11 was traumatic for you. Mary J. Blige says, yes. And Aaliyah just died. Because Aaliyah died in August 2001. My life was her life. She was surrounded by people who weren't telling her the real deal. We weren't close friends. But I'd talked with her a couple of times. I very well could have been the woman on that plane. Oprah says, it was your wake-up call. And Mary says, yes. Bizarre. The bizarre things they talk about, they don't tell you the whole truth of what's going on, I think. Now, what you came for? The Super Bowl performance. What was there? What wasn't there? What could have been there? Let's break it down. And again, with all that occult activity, I thought, this is going to be loaded with symbolism. Even the teaser video, they were playing chess, which is a Freemasonic thing. It's a talk about the duality and the changing of perspective, right? Because, I think I've explained this before, but with the colors, white and black, traditionally, one would think, well, black is evil and white is good. But the way you play chess, you could be either color. Meaning, if you're the color black, now, from your perspective, white is bad, and black is good. And that's what the whole idea of Gnosticism and duality and all that is. It's questioning what's good and what's evil, right? And I had all these predictions, right? You heard all of those conspiracies about all those artists, and I said, here's the main things I predict, and why. I said, first, we're going to get some Saturn symbolism, black and red, elements of the sun. And that's because of Blackstone, which is founded by the Skull and Bones CFR people. Then I said we're on some kind of aliens, demonic, fallen angels from the sky. And because Kendrick said aliens gave him his talent, and Eminem and Snoop said they sold their soul to the devil. I thought Sacrifice of the Dying Sun God with Ares as the sacrificial lamb. The LA Rams. I even thought the Rams were going to lose. Who'd have thought? Deification of man as God, because all the rappers talk about themselves being God, which is a very occult idea. And I thought maybe there would be a cross. And none of that was true. None of it happened. The Rams winning, I thought maybe the Rams would be the sacrifice, meaning they were going to lose. They would have to die. Maybe that was wrong. Maybe the Ram was the vehicle for solar power to enter into the new age, if you want to take that route. Or maybe it was just a dumb football game. All right. You could talk me into that too. Now, let's talk about what we saw. And again, not much to work with. Not much, like, at all. Like, shockingly low amounts of symbolism. And usually there's a lot, and this one was whack. I remember Nicki Minaj did an exorcism on stage once. That was good content days back then. But yeah, there wasn't a lot to work with. Even you know, even, and they brought out a surprise appearance by 250 Cent there, who spent a lot of, too much time in the candy shop. But overall, it was pretty lame. The performance wise, it had low energy. I thought it was whack. You know, not to be a hater, I like all the artists. It didn't have enough energy for me. I was like, I don't know, this is kind of lame. And like, they didn't even have the, I went to the Up and Smoke tour and seen all those guys, right? Dre and Snoop and Eminem. I seen all those guys. And on that stage, they pulled out a 6'4 Impala with the Hydras bouncing up and down. They had three of those parked in the front. Not one time did they hit the switches. I was like, dude, this is so lame. What kind of whack ass activities are these? Now, symbolism, though. Here, let's talk about symbolism. If you put a gun in my head and force me to say, here's what I think could be there, and again, this is a big maybe, I'm very hesitant to even, like, suggest this is a real thing, but here's what I think could have, which was there and could be evident of something. I feel like it didn't have enough energy behind the whole thing for it to really... for it to really stand ground. Now, the stage, right? The artists were on top of these buildings that were on top of the city of LA, suggesting that these were the gods of Los Angeles, the gods of the fallen angels, right? City of Angels. And we also had a little bit of as above, so below, because Dre and Snoop were up top on the top rapping. And then they point down and it inverts, and now 50 Cent's hanging upside down, which was, a lot of people asked what that was about. That was, I believe it was his first video. He's upside down. And when they showed him, I was like, that's not 50 Cent. That was 50 Cent. He put on a couple pounds. And you know what the irony is? Everybody's roasting him. Everyone's roasting 50 Cent. But like, he probably still looks fantastic with his shirt off. He's probably in better shape than 95% of other guys his age, I'd guess. But you know what? F him. You know what I mean? That's what we do. We tear our celebrities down. Mary J. Blige. I don't know how this plays into it, but it was really weird how she like passes out at the end, like falls, like starfishes on the roof. I thought that was really bizarre. I don't know what kind of symbolism that would tie into, though. Kendrick Lamar. This is probably the biggest one. And I posted this image, and I'll post all of these other ones too. Kendrick Lamar, he had the dancers in all black that came out of cubes, out of boxes. So he had some Saturnian elements there, the black cube. And there's one point where the dancers, there's some dancers in all black with a red light on them. There's your red and black symbolism of Saturn, which I predicted, kind of, right? I mean, again, this is pretty tame. Representation of what I thought was going to happen, but nonetheless it was there. And then at the bottom, Kendrick and some other dancers formed an eye, the all-seeing eye, right? And you'll notice those dancers also had dyed blonde hair, which is allegedly symbolic of mind control programming. When people dye their hair blonde, it's almost like putting a mask on. It's allowing a different alter to take over, changing identification, right? It'd be like if you shaved your head all of a sudden, you would feel like a different person. Well, the same goes for dyeing your hair blonde. Then at the end of the performance, Dr. Dre did the Mano Cornudo devil horns. You know, and I'm always hesitant to hang my hat on that too hard because a lot of people just do that. That's just synonymous with rock and roll nowadays. But nonetheless, it's an occult symbol, so let's not deny that, right? And yeah, that that was it. We were supposed to get... You know, they were talking like, oh, we're going to get Tupac's hologram. And I thought it was going to happen. Even Dr. Dre even pianoed, I ain't mad at you, for like 3 seconds. I was like, oh, damn, here comes Tupac's hologram. Didn't get it. I don't know, the budget cuts. But yeah, I don't know. It was pretty weak, I thought, overall. I mean, for such high-profile artists, I don't know. And then the stadium. SoFi Stadium is actually a big... eye, if you look at it from the sky. Shout out Dr. Anteater, hooked me up with that. I didn't know that. So there you go. That was kind of the stuff I would say that's worth looking at. I tried to figure out where they were standing on the map. I couldn't quite tell. I'm sure it's Compton or Los Angeles or something. I don't know for sure. Now, here's some other ideas worth considering before we go. Because I got, you know what? I got a dreaded day job. I got to get up early. So we're going to wrap this up. But I thought I'd go. I went through a lot of your comments. Someone was saying that Snoop was wearing a Buddha necklace. I don't think so. I think that was a Death Row necklace because he had been promoting it on, I don't know, social media or something. He got the Death Row diamond necklace. Heather said that they looked like they were in shipping containers. I thought that's pretty clever. They did kind of look like shipping containers, didn't they? Jayzilla said that The Rock apparently claimed that the Bengals will rise from the ashes in the intro to the Super Bowl. I didn't see that. I actually didn't get to sit down to watch anything until like 5 minutes before the halftime show. Me and Josie Weishaupt were fixing plants and stuff. Very not Illuminati podcasting type of events. Yeah, so that was kind of interesting, right? That's a talk about the Phoenix and alchemy is kind of what that idea is. Chris said that Dre Day sashes that they were wearing, that's a Masonic thing, and that's true. The Masons wear sashes like Miss America pageant sashes. There's said Dre Day. I didn't see a lot of other Freemason symbolism, though. Chris also said that 50 Cent was the Hanged Man of the Tarot. Maybe, right? I don't know. I don't think so. I think that was just an homage to his first video where he was hanging upside down. Rick Dogg said he thinks they took the year off. I agree. I think they took the year off. The Illuminati didn't get theirs this year. A couple of people suggested Eminem was a clone, which I thought was interesting. And in fact, I looked it up. Some of the people were saying that his eyebrows looked different and massive. I don't know. Does that mean he's a clone? Or did he grow his eyebrows out? Does that happen? Cowboy Funk said that Kendrick Lamar's dancers were in cubes. Oh, okay, yeah, I covered that. Yes, good. D Gaines messaged me with an interesting thought about how, if you watch, Eminem was standing on the end of the buildings, and there was like another building, almost like a skyscraper, and it blows up. Could that be evidence of a building blowing up in Los Angeles? Right? I don't know. We'll see. That'll be weird if that happens, right? So in conclusion, and there was a couple other good ideas. I read through all of them. But in conclusion, wasn't much there this year. Now look, I know maybe you're disappointed. Maybe you're hoping there would be this huge satanic thing. And look, I was looking for it too. And I could be wrong. I could rewatch it, or maybe someone else is going to find something and it'll put some pieces together and we'll say, ah, yes, there it is. Or maybe not. Much like Krios187 on Twitter said, I mean, you know, inflation, right? Maybe it was just inflation. And they ran out of money to pay these guys to do the symbols. But overall, it's a good thing, right? I mean, look, I want to see a Janet Jackson titty pop out as much as the next guy. But the fact that we didn't get satanic exorcist stuff pummeled down the minds of the youth and all the people watching, maybe that's a good thing and we should celebrate it, okay? But yeah, that's this year's report. I know, not a lot there, which was surprising. However, here's a teaser. Kanye West made up for all of that by going absolutely insane on the Instagram. We're going to talk about it. I don't know when. I took some notes down. He's nuts. He's going crazy. Either he's off his meds or he's ultra petty. It's not a good look, though. It's not a good look. Whatever it is, he seems really jealous of Pete Davidson. And I don't know. It's not a good look. He's looking bad, all right? Look, guy to guy, look, Kanye, just let it go. You're giving it more energy than it needs. And you're probably filling Pete Davidson's head so big because he's on his mind so much. But we're going to talk about Kanye sometime here. This week, though, I'm working on the Archive 81. analysis. It's going to be two, maybe even three parts. It's a lot of stuff to talk about, okay? So if you haven't seen Archive 81 on Netflix, it's good. I'd recommend it. It's kind of long. Watch it at 1.5 speed, all right? And even if you don't want to watch it, I'll walk you through the whole plot, the whole show. There's a ton of stuff to talk about with that. So stay tuned for that. And if you haven't heard, I actually have a second Super Bowl show drop in here. Depending on if you're at the supporter feed or the free feed. Free feed gets it Monday, February 14th. Supporters already got it last Friday. It's a Super Bowl symbolism show where I talk about why all this happens. So take a listen to that and you can see more about why we talk about these things and analyze it so hard. Whew. Okay, till next time, my friends. You know what to do. Stay woke.